Hello, it is 2 p.m. in New York, 8 p.m. in Johannesburg, and 1 a.m. in Bangkok. Welcome to the Expat Happy Hour. This is Sunday Schneider Bean from SundayBean.com, and I'm a solution-oriented coach and intercultural strategist for individuals and organizations. And I am on a mission to help you adapt and succeed when living abroad and get you through any life transition. I was on vacation in the U.S. visiting a really good friend of mine, and I was maybe about 31 at the time, and we had a three-year-old son, and my girlfriend and I decided to let a friend of hers babysit our boys so we could sneak away and get a manicure and a pedicure, and it was glorious. I walked out of the salon, and I turned to her, and I said, "That was the first mani-pedi I've ever had." And she stopped dead in her tracks in the parking lot. And she was like, "What? Sunday? That is not a luxury. That's maintenance." Sorry, Nicole, if you're listening, that's exactly how you sounded when you stopped me in the parking lot. I thought, oops. Okay, that was my moment when I realized I had some room for improvement on what people are calling self-care. Come on, who's with me? Anyone? Anyone? Come on, I know I'm not alone. Working on self-care is an ongoing topic because our lives change. We have babies, we move countries, we get promoted, or all at the same time. So this is my welcome to you for week two of our six-week series of experts, where we draw upon experts' insight and their practical tips so you can dramatically improve your life and well-being. We focus on three areas. We kicked off with yourself. Then in next week, we'll go to the home. And finally, in weeks five and six, we'll focus on your business. If you missed week one with Kendall Ritz, it's all about pleasure. So go back and check it out. And this week, we're going to do some serious talking about self-care, as well as what our special guest calls self-care for the soul. And that's why we are so lucky to have Deanna Dorrell with us as a guest today. Now, Deanna is a lot of things, and among them, she is a women's empowerment leader, a healer, a modern-day medicine woman, and she helps women own and step into their power to create lives of grace, love, and magic. And not to mention all of that, she's also the best-selling co-author of The Dating Mirror, Trust Again, Love Again on Amazon. All right, this lady is amazing. She's been on the Elephant Journal, Infusionsoft, just to name a few. So, Deanna, thank you so much for joining us on the Expat Happy Hour today.
Thank you so much for that lovely introduction. Oh my goodness.
No, we're just so happy to have you. And Deanna, you know I'm going to tell this story. I'm going to out how we met. Deanna and I were on a business retreat in the summer. We were paired to share a room together. And so we said hi over Facebook. And I was flying in and my flight was late. So I wrote her a message and I said, "I'm sorry I'm late. I don't want to wake you." And she said, no, I'm on, West Coast time. I'll be awake, right? Well, it got later and later. And I walk in and I tried to, insert the key in the door really quietly and pull open the door. And I see that the light was still on, like a pretty big side lamp. And I turn around the corner and she's sleeping and she propped up a pillow to block the light out on her side as much as possible, but to allow maximum light on my side. I thought it was so sweet of you, Deanna, but that's not even the best part of the story. So I get ready for bed and brush my teeth, and I'm really trying to be very quiet, and I get into bed and I'm kind of excited about everything that I just experienced and was about to experience. And it was all quiet. And all of a sudden, like 30 minutes later, I hear, "Are you sleeping?" And I'm like, "No, I'm not." And we talked like two kids at camp, didn't we?
We totally did. And I was so glad and relieved that you weren't like passed out, because I'm like, I'm wide awake. I don't know why, but I am.
And it was kind of like a, you know, like a bad night, a one night stand where I had to turn around in the morning and see actually who was next to me because the lights were out when we were talking. But yeah, it was so sweet. So anyway, that's how I met Deanna. And she is really amazing. And the thing that I learned about Deanna that's how sweet she is in terms of consideration for others and openness. But what you don't know about Deanna is that she's worked with some of the biggest names in the business, and she is this amazing grounded woman. So Deanna, you're so great to be with us, and tell our listeners more about you, because what is this, you know, modern day medicine woman, you focus on self-care. Tell us more about who you are and how you came to do what you're doing now.
Oh, you're so sweet. So yes, I am a third generation medicine woman. Now, what the heck does that mean? I come from a long line of healers and intuitives from Colombia and Venezuela. So my grandmother was a medicine woman. She worked with herbs. She was a clairvoyant. And I've inherited a lot of her gifts, but it wasn't until my mid-20s that I actually started to use them to consult with people. And I found that, you know, all of us are intuitive, but it's to what degree we allow ourselves to listen and to tune in. And so in my early 20s, I started working, with folks in San Francisco, and I found over and over again, the same themes coming up: self-confidence, relationships, feeling worthy of asking for what you want. And inevitably, it was all around loving themselves and taking care of themselves and giving themselves permission. So, I really feel like this path found me. I did not find it. I wasn't sitting there in the third grade when everybody asks what you wanted to do with your life and saying, I'd like to be a psychic and, you know, talk to people about energy and self-care.
Right. You know, because we also don't have a lot of space in society to see a psychic, for example, as someone who is a legitimate practice, a legitimate job. I mean, I think when I hear a psychic, I automatically think of like an expensive telephone line that you hear about, an infomercial or something. So there's not a lot of legitimacy that's offered to us in society. And I love what you said about intuition is available to all of us. We just have to be open to it. And I think intuition is one of those things where you have to, it can't be in your head. You have to experience it for yourself. You have to trust your intuition and watch that it was valid till you start to believe it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I just have to say, where I am right now in the world, I'm in Arizona. It is 11:11 on my clock. And that is a divine number, you guys. If you look at 11:11, it looks like two pathways. So, you know, as you're listening to this, really looking at where you have come and where you want to go. And I know that, you know, you are expats, right? You're moving into a new life in a new country. And oftentimes we lose sight of ourselves in that transition. And so,
oh my gosh,
noticing. Yes.
Oh, Deanna, you know what's so interesting? You kind of gave me chills in my arms when you said two pathways, because what was going through my mind before you said that was you and I, we do very different things, but I think the end goal is very similar, because my clients are struggling with self-confidence. They don't admit it, right? But deep down they know it, or this idea of really truly giving yourself permission to take care of yourself and to feel valuable. That is inherent. It pops up in my coaching with people all the time. And I love that, because I think you and I go towards a similar end goal, but we have very different paths on how to get there.
Isn't that great, though? I feel like we're drawn to talk about self-care for a reason, because it really is pervasive throughout everybody's life. But nobody is really, you know, putting it out there, I should say, in a way that's, you know, not all about like going to a 5-star resort and
right. So let's talk about this, the self-care. You know, I just read a really great article about how the idea of self-care, I didn't even know the word self-care, you know, when did it come into being? Not that long ago. But this idea of self-care has been criticized for being very classist, mm-hmm. and, you know, that there's the people who, when you think of self-care, you think of, yeah, a spa, a massage, et cetera, which is, it is quite classist in that sense. And it's not speaking to, people's realities. So can you define for us, honestly, from your perspective, what is self-care and why does it really matter? Why is it beyond massages at a spa?
Yeah. So in my book, self-care is about giving yourself permission to be a priority in your own life, to be the leader of your own life, if we're talking high level. And, you know, why is it important? It's really about life maintenance, and it's not so much about something that you do when you have more time or more money or, you know, when somebody else gives you the space to do it. It's about being in that proactive position in your life and taking charge of your schedule, taking charge of your health, whatever area, you know, as I'm saying this, you know, you haven't put yourself number one, then that's your opportunity to take back the reins, take back your power, and really, you know, put into place different systems, and they don't have to be complicated. I'm all about keeping it simple, that you can be consistent with, that, you know, send that signal to you first and foremost, and then to the people in your life, hey, I matter, I'm important, I am going to acknowledge myself. Instead of looking outward, right, and being directed to the outside world to find that validation.
Oh man, you know what? I know there are hundreds of people listening right now, and they can identify with the fact that they do not make themselves a priority. Because if, for example, especially if you're an expat accompanying partner, let's say, you are in service to the organization, the partner who has assignment, and your kids that you're getting transitioned in school. So you're very much in service of others, even in service of waiting for the electrician to come, right? If you're the expat on assignment, you are serving the organization, and you're the reason you're in that country, and there's a way of sort of a responsibility that people unduly carry on their shoulders because they feel like I better make them happy while they're here because of me. And then you end up putting your own ideas, interests, hobbies really low on the priority scale. For people who are living a rotational lifestyle, that's super relevant. But let's be honest, yeah. I talk to a lot of I don't know if this could be a generalization, it could be wrong, but my observation is a lot of women, especially women with children, often have themselves low on the priority. So here's something I want to do really quick for the listeners. I want you to imagine a scale from 0 to 10, 0 being not at all, 10 being yes all the time. And I want you to put yourself on a scale, right? And the scale from 0 to 10. So the first one is anywhere from 0 to 10, I put myself as a priority. Where are you on that scale? Mm-hmm. Right? Then line 2 is I schedule time for my health and well-being. 0 being I don't at all, and 10 being I do it religiously. Okay? And option number 3, I have regular practices, habits in my everyday life that make sure my core needs are met. 0 on one side, 10 on the other. So if any of you are listening and you're on the like 3, 4, or 5 scale, you better pay attention because what Deanna has to share is really important.
I love that, Sunday. Like just like rating yourself and being like honest about the starting point. That's awesome.
Right. And you talk about what I'm hearing from you is it's about life maintenance. And this is the same thing why my friend freaked out at me in the parking lot, because she saw it as maintenance. And I honestly thought of it as a luxury. And this is what you and I have talked about before. Self-care is not like Godiva chocolate where you just indulge in it from time to time, right? But why is it so hard? Honestly, Deanna, it's good for us. It's great for our health, our productivity. Why is it so dang hard to do when it's so important and so good for us?
That's a great question. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is that we have been taught as a society at large, right, that we have to earn it. Right? There's this like underlying current of I have to earn pleasure or I have to earn making myself a priority. And so we'll do all kinds of crazy things to feel deserving and worthy of an hour to ourselves or 10 minutes to ourselves. But if you can see it for what it is, it's just a belief. It's just an underlying commitment that you can change, right? Then everything can change in a second. So what if the commitment becomes, you know, when I put myself a priority, everybody benefits. Like if you took that on as your mantra, how would your life change?
Oh my gosh. I mean, you're making all the hair stand up on my arms right now. This is the thing. What I'm seeing from an expat perspective and from a resilience perspective is this idea is so powerful. Mentioned about I deserve it. So it's like, I'm going to bust my butt all day long and probably be bitter about it and resentful to other people. And then when everybody's in bed, I'm going to open up a bottle of wine, jump in the bath and have bubbles. And it's the flip side of I do things that are sort of not serving me all day long so that I've earned the right to do it. And what I'm hearing you say is actually not. I mean, what if you flipped it around? What if you started the day that way?
Exactly.
And cared for yourself so that you had the energy to be of service to whatever's important to you the rest of the day.
Absolutely. And that's kind of the first exercise that I give all of the people that are in a group that I run called Self-Care for Your Soul is let's experiment. Not even let's set this in stone. Let's experiment and play with putting one self-care activity at the very top of your schedule, even though, you know, husbands, kids, the dog, the cat, your boss, whatever it is going to try and hijack that. What if we just experiment with, you know, trying this out for, you know, the next 72 hours? We start really small and just noticing what emotions come up, because that really is the key to making big changes. It's not so much about what you do, because everybody listening to this, I'm sure, is really good at, you know, organizing schedules and all of that kind of thing. It's about giving yourself the emotional space to see what's behind the inaction. So maybe it's, I feel guilty, or, you know, I should be doing something else. This isn't really important, or what, seeing what your underlying script is, because then you can actually change it.
Right. And what I've noticed, in my own life and in the lives of my clients is when you do that actually there isn't as much resistance. There's actually support and surprise. Like, hey, you're in a good mood today. I've shared this story before. My husband, he knows when I need to go jogging. He's my resilience partner. He can tell when I need to like blow up some steam, and he'll be like, honey, don't you want to go for a jog? But it's basically saying, get out of the house, you need to go. Because he knows if I give an hour so she can go for a jog and shower, I will have a way better evening. And so will the kids, because her needs have been met, right? And that's the same thing for him. If he comes home from a crazy day and he needs to go for a quick bike ride, we all know that time is well invested. And I love that you said, so for the listeners right now, you don't have to change your life, you know, from upside down. All you have to commit to is one small self-care activity for 72 hours and notice what happens, right? That's a great way to start.
Yeah. And just, you know, I would pick something that you maybe have been saying, you know, that you want to get back into, or something that you already know what that's going to give you the most energy. So like an example, I know for me, if I don't journal in the morning, like within the first 20 minutes of waking up, the rest of the day just feels off. And so, you know, and there's been days where you wake up late or you're short on time, but I always manage to make time for that. And I notice a big difference, just like you said with your husband. They get the best of us. Our families get the best of us when we show up as our best self. And there's so many things that we can do, but if you just distill it down to that one thing that's going to add energy to your day, what is it that you've been putting off? And just write down.
So what you've said is one way to start when you're thinking of self-care activities is to do one thing that you know you've been wanting to do, you've been putting off. Another thing you've said is something that will help you, give you energy. What if you're like some people that I work with and they say, honestly, I've been serving everybody else's needs for so long, I don't even know what I want. What would you recommend to them?
Then for that, I would just say your challenge is going to be 10 minutes. We'll start really simple. 10 minutes of you just breathing, you know, dressing, like where nobody else comes first. And you may have to enforce some boundaries here, right? And there's discomfort that comes up with that. But just the very act of getting in your body, when we are so used to taking care of other people, the first place that it starts to affect us is physically. So moving your body, breathing, like start there. Go for a walk. Take the dog for a walk. Whatever.
I'm sorry. I'm laughing. I'm laughing because you know what's coming up is any parent who's had toddlers, you know.
You're gonna burst in.
You know, it's just, you want to go to the toilet by yourself. Like that would be the best.
Perfect.
Like lock the door without anybody banging on it or putting their fingers underneath the door screaming mommy, right? Like just 10 minutes quiet.
Yes.
Right, and this is why this idea of the going to the spa and doing a massage, which probably costs, you know, $100-$200 or whatever currency, and an hour away, that's why people don't do it. Because if that's self-care, it's too expensive and takes too much time. But what you're saying is totally different. You're saying, what can you do now? And that could even just mindfully be breathing or getting dressed in the morning in quiet. So
absolutely.
I love that. It's so accessible, Deanna. And I think that's so important to tell people that it is.
Yes. The more accessible we make it and the more tangible you can make it in your everyday life, the easier it'll be. And you can build on it. I'm not saying don't go to the spa. Like, of course, we all want to go to the spa. But if, you know, it's something about building a consistent habit, just like going to the gym, right? Or you going for your runs. Mm-hmm. If you don't do it consistently, you're not going to see the results and you're not going to have consistent moods either, which is going to affect how you are with your husband and your kids. So start small and, you know, bite-sized chunks and be consistent with it. And then you can, you know, indulge in a long weekend. But when we indulge in the long weekend, it's kind of like going on a crash diet,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We get those results fast, but then we just eat twice as much after.
Well, and what you do is you zone out. You're not really present. Like, you know what I mean? You hang out in your pajamas all day. You drink maybe too much wine.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You're not really present. You're just kind of recovering, and that's not rejuvenating. Those are very different things.
Oh, I love that you brought that up. Yeah. So rejuvenating versus recovering.
Tell us your perspective. I'm really curious to hear how you see those things.
So to me, recovering is something that you've had to survive.
Right. Like Monday through Friday. That's what
Yeah. And it's very much reward based. And it's very much based in the language of I deserve it, which is, you know, in America, that's like the big thing. Like, I deserve a Miller Lite. Like, it's just, of course, you deserve to feel like shit on a Saturday morning because you've rewarded yourself, quote unquote, all Friday night.
Right.
But, you know, like, of course that makes sense. And then, you know, the opposite, rejuvenation, is really about pleasure and and really, I think healthy self-love. Mm-hmm. It's saying, I'm in overflow right now. I have so much love to give to my family, to my husband, to my, you know, dog, whatever. And I just want to share this with the world and, you know, and do this special thing because I want to, but I don't need it. I think it really comes down, as I'm processing this out loud with you, it's about a need versus a desire.
Well, and what I'm also hearing is rejuvenation is still in service, right? This is the thing. Yes. Actually, it is in service to others, because if you can replenish your energy sources and get your mood balanced, you can still be in service of people. You know, Deanna, I come from, you're a third generation medicine woman from Colombia and Venezuela. Well, I am, I don't know, third generation Norwegian pioneer woman. Like, woo! my great grandmother and great grandfathers come from, literally got on a boat and went to Ellis Isle and then got in a covered wagon and went across the U.S. and then they landed in North Dakota, like the coldest tundra-like area you can, and they dug the ground and created a farm. Like, these are people who put their head down in the freezing cold and farm, right? This is in my bones, I think. So, you know, I remember my great-grandmother on Christmas, she would get mad if you didn't give her anything besides Folgers coffee and I don't even know what you could dare give her. Maybe a fruitcake might be even too luxurious. Like, I just, wow. You know, like this idea. And there's this mentality of no luxury, you know, do it practical, hard work ethic, right? My parents, my father is a farmer, my mother is a housewife, but she worked her tail off from morning till night, just like my dad did. And, you know, these are things that some people who share cultural backgrounds or family cultures like mine never learned. We never saw it modeled. There wasn't permission in our culture to do that. So this, even I deserve it is a stretch, right? So how could you tenderly suggest that these workhorses put the reins down for a moment and experiment?
Yeah, well, I mean, I can relate to a lot of what you shared about your family. I mean, my grandmother, who was a healer, she also worked herself to the bone. She worked in a factory and also worked at Macy's. And what I found out later after she passed away is she would often pretend that she was a famous jazz singer. Like, she would be cooking in the kitchen and say, like, watch out, don't step on my microphone because I have a sold out audience. And I always thought she was crazy. But then I realized that was kind of her way of indulging in self-care, was through the, you know, her imagination. And my grandfather worked as a mechanic, and, you know, they all lived in a one-bedroom apartment with, like, three kids in Manhattan. Yep. And so I resonate with that work hard mentality. But I think what I would say to that is there's an honoring that must happen, right? So honoring your ancestors, honoring your parents, honoring the place that mentality came from, which was to give to the future generations, ultimately, right? Yeah. To be an example, even if it's not the example that you want to model after now, but having a moment of reverence and seeing all of the ways that it shaped you in a positive way, your personality, you know, how you are in the world, and doing a ritual, and this might be a little out there for some of you, but a ritual could be as simple as just taking a minute, right, to acknowledge all of these things that we just talked about. You can light a candle, something to symbolize, you know, seeing it for what it was and consciously creating a new way of being, giving yourself permission while at the same time honoring what came before you is really helpful. So there's a number of things you can do, but one that I'll just give to everyone is if you can get a picture of someone in your family or something, an object that was theirs that represents them, and just hold it and take a minute or two to just say thank you. Thank you for all these lessons. And, you know, and really be humble about it. And then, you know, make the decision that you are going to forge a new path, not only for yourself, but for the generations that follow. Because every generation just wants to get better. And if you can, I think, embrace the past and then move forward and make that choice to move forward, it's a lot easier. And it's not to say that, you know, you're going to rock this 72-hour challenge and add three things on your calendar every day and, like, totally go against your grain. But I think the permission piece is huge. It's like, okay, yeah, I've been doing it up to this point. I'm committed to doing something differently, even if I don't know how it's going to make me feel or what it's going to look like, but I'm going to give it a go.
Right. And I think that I love that idea. I mean, when you were saying that, I was actually, you know, visualizing those photos. I think they call it sepia as a filter now, but like the real old school photos that are that kind of yellow brown color of the women in the pioneer dresses with the bonnets on. Like, I'm thinking about them, those stoic pictures. And I thank my great grandmothers and my great grandfathers for their strength. And that has served me. And I get what you're saying. You're basically saying thank you for sharing that. And now maybe that's enough. Tone down and do something else, right? So there's a couple things that are popping up for me because, you know, people who not everybody who lives an international life lives a rotational life, right? That moves every 18 months or every 4 years. But I want to talk about those people for a moment that do change every 2 to 4 years. There are moments when we're in transition where literally I was in my apartment or our house here, and my husband was in Burkina Faso. I was in South Africa, and our container hadn't arrived. My kids were sleeping on blow-up mattresses in the room next to me, and I had a mattress on the floor, and I had we had no dishes, so I was drinking some really bad old wine from a dinosaur sippy cup type of thing, because all I had in the house.
Oh my God.
Because that was as good as it got. You know what I mean? Like, and that was the best I could do in the moment, right? So and I celebrated it. It was wonderful. But my point is that sometimes you find yourself in a transition where you don't have that moment to jump in the bath, or you don't have someone that you can give your kids to just for 10 minutes because you're the only one in that country and nobody speaks your language and your husband's at work, right? So can you give us like an extreme, like self-care extreme for those who are really in a tough transition and are kind of looking for an SOS self-care practice?
Yeah, so I love that. I mean, I could visualize everything you were saying with the sippy cup and just like, well, this is what I'm going to do. So the first thing is, and it depends, I think, on the age of your kids, but how would it feel to have a family self-care ritual where everybody knows, you know, in the morning we have 1 minute or 10 minutes, right, where you share with the family or with yourself something that you're grateful for or something that you're excited about. The other thing that comes if you're, you know, I just see the woman with like the infant that's crying and the husband's not there and you're just like, oh my gosh, please somebody give me a respite, is to, when you wake up in the morning before you get out of bed, is to think of one word, this one word that you want to feel that day. So it might be joyful. And so you say it out loud, joyful. And it's something so simple, but what it does, it starts to train your subconscious to look for ways to be joyful throughout the day, right? And so in that sense, everything around you is out of control. You have control over setting the tone for your day right when you open your eyes.
I love that. And neuroscience talks about the scanning. When we say you set the intention, it's not just woo-woo stuff. It's also supported by brain research. When you're looking for ways in which you can be joyful that day, that you give your body sort of the kickstart to do that. I love that. So that's something that you can do despite the craziness. It doesn't cost anything. It even goes when you have toddlers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sanity might be your word for the day. Mm-hmm. I love that. So practical. Even when you're talking, my shoulders drop. I'm feeling more relaxed just having you in my presence right now. It's just wonderful.
Oh, okay.
So I have two questions before we wrap up. One was, you talked about systems. Mm-hmm. Tell me, you said it's important for people to have systems. Can you just give us kind of a, what do you mean by that?
So systems meaning, you know, things that you do on a consistent basis that are going to optimize your energy. And so that may be having a morning ritual and an evening ritual before you go to bed. So like for me, it's journaling in the morning, right? That's a non-negotiable. And before I go to bed, I take a hot bath. That might look very differently for somebody else, but it's the two things that are going to give you the most bang for your buck. And you insert mm-hmm. them at the beginning of your day and at the end of the day. The other thing, you know, when I talk about systems for self-care is scheduling things like, you know, doctor's appointments, you know, the massage, if that's really, you know, what you want, ahead of time. So looking at your calendar and saying, okay, how can I indulge in exceptional self-care for the next month? And then where does that fit in? And then everything else has to work around those.
Well, and Deanna, I don't know if I shared this with you, but I made a dentist appointment for myself and my two kids, and I felt like super mom. Like, I was like, yeah. I am amazing, because I actually, it wasn't like, oh, my kid has a cavity, or, oh, we haven't had a dentist appointment in 3 years. It was proactive, right? And yeah. And I felt amazing, because I know there's people out there going, oh, my God. But you know what? For me, as a working, you know, entrepreneur with clients and kids and my husband who has an assignment, we've got a lot going on in our life. So for me to step outside of myself and say, I'm going to proactively get the dentist appointment for all of us, I felt like I was nurturing my family that day. And I know some people, yeah, and some people might think that's so silly, but it made me feel amazing because I knew I had it covered. Right. And that's about this idea. What you're saying is, what can you schedule in advance that will make you feel good?
Absolutely. Feel good and just feel the way you want to feel. Right. So yep. I think it's also important before you start to make any major changes as far as self-care goes, is define what, you know, what that feeling is for you. For one person, it might be to feel in control or to feel powerful. Right. Yes. For somebody else, it may be to feel relaxed and, you know, nurtured. So everything that you choose is going to be built around those kind of core feelings.
I love that. No, that's great. And I know that the people that are listening, a lot of people want to feel more in control. A lot of people want to feel more empowered or more sitting in a place of more certainty. Other people want to feel more independence.
Yes.
And freedom. So all of those things. And that, I just want to step back there for a second, Deanna, because that is, for me, is a completely different way of looking at self-care. You know what I mean? In terms of getting away from this idea of, you know, massages, that when self-care is being intentional about the way you want to feel, and then setting that intention. And I always talk to my clients about this. How do you want to feel, and how can you create more of that now? Because if someone wants to get a job and they want to feel powerful and independent, I don't want you to wait the 6 months or 18 months to get that job. I want you to feel that now. And you know what? I'm really happy you say that, because I never think of that as self-care, Deanna. I think I've maybe not given myself as much credit as I could in terms of what I'm already doing in terms of self-care, in terms of being proactive, right? And that's, I never think about that as self-care. And I love that counts for self-care. There's one other thing. I'm curious, this idea, you have this program, it's called Self-Care for the Soul. Yes. Now, is that different from what we've been talking about? Tell me more about that.
Yeah, so Self-Care for Your Soul, it's a 12-week group program. And basically the premise of that is to take you from feeling completely overscheduled and overwhelmed to feeling energized and excited about your life again. And going to the soul level, and all that means is helping you get back in touch with what's important to you, to help you get back in touch with your intuition so that you're not making decisions from, you know, just your lovely, fabulous analytical mind, but making sure that they are anchored into something that's going to give you more energy. So I run that program twice a year. Right now we're currently in it, but enrollment is, you know, going to be starting again. So if anybody is interested, you can just check out the website, which is just my name, DianaDorell.com, to get on the waiting list.
And what I love about, you know, what you've shared today is, you know, when we talked about being a third generation medicine woman, that the word psychic came up. You don't think that the way in which you support people and what you do is so grounded. It's so grounded in the practical every day, and it goes really deep. And I love that you shared all that today, because you've really opened up the way I think people think about self-care. So to end, before I say goodbye, you do a breathing exercise. Isn't there something that you do, really short breathing exercise? And I don't want to be putting on the spot, where people can do to get grounded. Do you have something in your back pocket for that?
Yeah. So my favorite number is 3. So we'll use the number 3. So what you want to do is close your eyes, and you're going to inhale for 3 counts, hold for 3, and then release for 3.
Okay, I'm going to do it with you, Diana.
Yeah, do it with me. Okay,
so if you hear a boom, that means I've fallen over because I'm holding my breath too long. Okay, I'm going to do it with you. Lead me and lead all the listeners. We're ready.
All right, here we go. So inhale for 1, 2, 3, and hold for 1, 2, 3, and exhale through the mouth slowly. 1, 2, 3. And just let yourself breathe normally after that. And notice already how much the energy shifted within you. Your shoulders dropped. You're just feeling a little bit more peaceful. And I want to just break down why we did it like that. So when we inhale, you're actually receiving, right? Receiving new breath, sending oxygen to the brain, to your neural passageways. But on an energetic level, right, this is symbolizing you receiving, that it's safe for you to receive in the world, to give to yourself. And the reason we hold it, right, is to acknowledge what you need to release, to acknowledge what you need to burn off or stop doing. Is that like kind of choking feeling? But when you
I felt like I hit the back of my throat. Like I was surprised on the third second that I felt like I hit the back of the wall, so to speak.
Yeah. And it really brings you really present and conscious to your body. Yeah. Like you can't be thinking about your to-do list when you're holding your breath. It just doesn't work. Right? And so then on the exhale, right, you're letting go, whatever you need to let go of to be your best self. And that's kind of the intention behind the three-step process.
So super simple and powerful and so good for you. I mean, we know from all the gurus that breathing is so simple, but so important to come back to yourself and get focus and clarity. So thank you for sharing that with us. That was wonderful. Tell us again, we can get a hold of you on your website. Where else can we get a hold of you?
Yeah. So my website, I'm on Twitter as Dancing Goddess. And on Facebook, you could just use my name, Diana Jarrell, spelled like Diana.
Okay, great. So I will also, in the blog that I share with this podcast, I'll put those details so people can grab it. Lovely. So, oh my gosh, I don't want to stop this interview with you, but I have to. I just want to keep talking. But thank you so much for sharing with us today. It's been wonderful.
My pleasure.
And thank you for the contribution you've made to each and every listener who's listening right now, who says, you know what, that makes sense, and I'm going to try that one thing. So really appreciate so much your time today, Diana.
My pleasure, everybody. Keep loving yourself. You're doing wonderful.
Thank you, Diana. Bye.
Bye.
All right, you guys. Diana is amazing, right? I mean, she breaks all the ideas that you have when you hear about self-care. This really smashes this idea of, you know, coconut oil massages at a spa and brings it to our everyday messy lives. Everything she mentioned today is free and doesn't take a long time and is kind to our bodies and to our thoughts and actually is to our family. So the things that I'm taking away today that really hit home is this idea of we often work from this framework of deserving, like a work and reward mindset when it comes to taking care of yourself. And what I'm hearing from Deanna is actually it's the other way around, that for us to do all the things that we're going to do, making ourselves a priority and doing it for the sake of taking care of ourselves is already enough. So she called out that cultural mindset that's prevalent in many places for us today. So wonderful. You have been listening to the Expat Happy Hour. Thank you so much for being here. In the words of Audre Lorde, self-care is not about self-indulgence. It's about self-preservation.